Amen. Thank you, Kendall. Well, good morning. Good morning, church. I'm glad that you're here with us today to worship and to just to step into what God has to share with us today. I was planning on jumping back into our Tipping Point series. We took a two-week break. We had Pastor Gary here from Ireland. It was great hearing from him and about the mission. And last week, we celebrated our six-year anniversary. But on Monday, I just felt a deep stirring for really two different topics. One is, you know, international issue, as you can see on the screen, of what's taking place, the war in Israel between Israel and Hamas. And then another one is right here within our community, within our church. And I want to speak to both of them, and I'm going to do my very best to speak to both of them. It's interesting that they're so separated, but also they are so connected all at the same time. And so here's what I'll say. I'm going to do my very best to get through this in the next 40 minutes, but I do have a lot to share. And what I'm going to be talking about, it's heavy stuff. And I think it's stuff that we all need to be aware of and be mindful of and be in prayer of. Before I jump into just what I'm going to talk about today, I want to encourage you. It'll be on the screen. There's a sermon that I listened to from a pastor. His name is Mark Driscoll. He's the pastor of Real Faith. He preached a sermon last week called "Is Jesus About to Return?" And he shared just some amazing stuff. And I would encourage you to go and listen to his sermon and what he had to say. There will be some things that I share from his sermon, but you want to check that out just to get a better understanding of what's taking place and the revelations that that God gave Pastor Mark for the times that we are living in. So definitely do that. Okay, so here's what's happening. I want to bring you all up to speed. You might be following, you might not. You may see it just because it's in the news, but you may not really know what's happening. And so let me just tell you kind of briefly what's happening. Since 2006, Hamas and Israel have fought five times. Of course, the most recent being what took place on October 7th. And I want to share with you why 2006 is so important. In 2006, Hamas won control of Gaza. And Israel responded that it would begin economic sanctions unless Hamas agreed to accept prior Israeli-Palestinian agreements, that they would forswear violence, and that they would recognize Israel's right to exist. And Hamas rejected both of those things. And so therein lies why there has been continued war, continued conflict since 2006. And of course, October 7th has become the deadliest of the five conflicts from both sides. Let me just share with you about the human impact that's taking place. About 1,400 people were killed in Israel during the Hamas attacks on October 7th, where Hamas rained down about 5,000 missiles on Israelis. More than 4,500 people have been injured. Now, let me bring this into perspective, isn't this something that Pastor Mark shared? Now, it blew my mind. Around 3,000 people died on the attack in Pearl Harbor. 2,000 died on the attack of 9/11. If you put that in comparison to the size just of that space, the amount of people, it really wouldn't be that this attack was 1,400 people on Israel. It would more be equated to about 40,000 in comparison. And that just helps you understand just how big this is. And that this is on the same level of those things for those people and what's taking place. But there's more to it. Now, of course, Israel responded. And they began to attack certain strongholds of the Hamas within Gaza. The death toll in Gaza has risen to more than 4,200 people. 70% of the dead are women and children. And more than 13,000 have been injured. Benjamin Netanyahu, I don't know if I said that right, declared that Israel is at war for the first time in 50 years. Now, just recently, there was a hospital bombing, and there's been a lot of speculation on who did that, a lot of people blaming Israel. Israel saying it wasn't us, but it was a jihad missile that just, it didn't go the right place. And what this is doing now is not only is there, of course, division and conflict taking place between Hamas and Israel, but now all of the world is entering into it as well. Crying foul on Israel that they would bomb a hospital. Not really looking into it, not fact-checking. We've gotten into this, we've experienced this, where we just see something and we share it and we don't even check the truth of it at all. You come to find out, you look at the footage, you look at all the details, it was not an airstrike from Israel. It was the jihad. They bombed their own hospital on accident because of this war. But it's causing division. It's causing protests throughout the country, especially within in Europe. And if you don't know, you need to know. Because this conflict, this war that's taking place, it while we are so far away from it, it you better believe it involves us. Amen. It involves our beliefs. It involves God's promises. It involves his promises in the Bible, his prophecy. So here's what I'd say to you. Maybe you heard about it and you said a prayer and you moved on with your life. And I get it. It's one of those things where, like, you see it happening and you got all your other stuff going on, and so it's so far, and it's easy just to remove yourself from it and stay far away from it. But can I just encourage you, like, supplant yourself in that moment. Imagine yourself there. Let me, this is something that I was thinking of. Imagine that Lakeland and Orlando were in a border conflict. In Lakeland, I'm making them the bad guys. They're not bad guys, but I'm just using them in this. Lakeland decided that they wanted to attack Orlando, but in order to do that first, they had to hit some of the cities along the way closer to their border. And so they fire thousands of missiles into the nearest town, Winter Haven. And they send militants in to go house to house, killing, murdering, taking hostage. A bomb hits, you know, your kid's school, a hospital, a family member's home. Just for a moment, imagine what these people are going through. I have just a few pictures. These ones are not graphic. There are very graphic pictures, but can you put the first one up? You guys have probably seen the footage of the Iron Dome, right? Defending from the attacks. And this is what happens and is continuing to take place. You can go to the next one. This is footage of one of the bombings that the Hamas committed on Israel. Just everyday place. You can go to the next one. This is in Gaza. This is one of those things where people are taking sides. But that's not what this is about. Because innocent civilians, men, women, children, their lives are being taken. And so, just as I dive into this a little bit more, here's what I'll encourage you to do. Pray for Israel. Absolutely. Pray for Gaza. Absolutely. Pray for all the civilians who live there, who are locals, and pray for all those civilians who are not locals, that are there, that are stuck, that are caught in the middle of this fight. Of course, pray for peace and resolution But know this, Hamas does not want peace and resolution, and there will not be peace and resolution until all of Israel is wiped out by them. Like I said before, you may not realize the deep ties this has to our faith and to biblical prophecy, but I want to dive into it. I didn't preface this before. I have entered into territory that I am not familiar with, that I'm not comfortable with, that I do not claim to have all the knowledge on. So I encourage you, if you're like, Pastor Brent is just off his rocker, go listen to smarter men than me. Go listen to men who understand this more than me. If anything, just start looking into it for yourself and really checking it out. So where did it begin? I mentioned 2006, but you got to understand, it's gone on much, much, much longer than that. Long before our lifetime. Going all the way back to the Bible. We go back to Abraham and Sarah and Hagar and Ishmael and Isaac. I want to read to you from Genesis 16. Verses 2 and 4, and Sarah said to Abram, "Since the Lord has prevented me from bearing children, go to my slave. Perhaps through her I can build a family." Abram agreed to what Sarah said. In verse 4, he slept with Hagar, and she became pregnant. Most of you probably know God promised Abraham to be the father of the nation of Israel. Years and years and years went by, and they got impatient, and so they decided to take matters into their own hands. Through what we would call, you know, infidelity. And what's wild is that this is a wife saying to her husband, take another woman, sleep with her and get her pregnant. And then I'll be a mother. And in this time, in this season, giving birth to a child, especially a male child, was everything. And so she needed that and she desired that so much that she was willing to step outside of what God had planned for her. Genesis 16 goes on. Hagar becomes pregnant. Sarah, you know, feels mistreated by her, sends her out. And in verse 11, it says to Hagar, "You will name him Ishmael. For the Lord has heard your cry of affliction. The man will be like a wild donkey. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. And he will live at odds with all of his brothers." So that's what we know about Ishmael. And you can read through the rest of the Old Testament and see what took place from his lineage. Genesis 21, Isaac is born. What God promised came true. They just had to wait for it. Genesis 22, there's this prophetic promise, and there's this foreshadowing of Jesus coming when Abraham takes Isaac to sacrifice him, and God says, you don't need to do that, you've been obedient. And so there's this foreshadowing of Jesus, God's one and only Son, the perfect Son, becoming that sacrifice for us so that you and I can have salvation. So there's the foreshadowing. And so what we have, and then 2,000 years later, here's what takes place. Muhammad hears from what he claims is an angel, but would probably be a fallen angel and more like a demon, visits and reveals that Ishmael is the son of promise, and that it's meant for Islam. And so God's Abrahamic promise was through Jesus and Isaac. Allah's Islamic promise was through Muhammad and Ishmael. And here's what I want to say to you. Whatever God creates and promises, Satan counterfeits and perverts. And he's been doing this since the beginning. And so the conflict that has been raging on is threefold. There's a claim on a land. There is a rightful lineage, and there's only one true Lord. Who's the land promised to? Is it promised to the Jews or the Muslims? Who's the correct lineage? Is it Ishmael? Is it Isaac? Who is the true God? Is it Allah and Muhammad? Or is it God, Yahweh, and Jesus? Now, I was studying about the faith and about what Muslims believe, and they have these five pillars, and one of them in my studies I found was Shahada, and this is declare one's faith in Allah and belief in Muhammad. And what they believe is that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, And Muhammad was perfect and infallible. Counterfeit. Muslims declare that Allah is greater than anything else. The phrase is Allahu Akbar. He's greater than anyone else. Now, as far as Jesus Christ is concerned, they do believe that Jesus was a man, but he was not divine. He was not Messiah. The Jews also do not believe that Jesus was the Messiah or a divine person. We believe that Jesus is part of the Holy Trinity. He's fully God, he's fully man. He was sent to this earth to take our place so that we can be forgiven of our sin and so that we can have salvation. It is through Jesus and Jesus alone. So God's promise is this: Israel is the chosen people. The promised land was given to the Jews, given to them. Yahweh is Lord, and Jesus is the perfect messenger sent from heaven, and he brought salvation. That is God's promise. Here's Satan's counterfeit. Islam is the chosen people. The promised land belongs to them. Allah is Lord, and Muhammad was his perfect messenger. This counterfeit, Satan's counterfeit, is why there has been conflict and is why there is still conflict today. Now let's talk about what this conflict brought and what it always brings. The counterfeit of Satan has brought on the spirit of Hamas. And this is something Pastor Mark shared, and it was so profound that I wanted to share it with you. Now, they call themselves Hamas, and for them it means zeal. But you can find this phrase in the Bible. And what Hamas means is violence. You can go back to Genesis 6:11. Now, the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with Hamas. And this is right before the flood takes place. Hamas. Hamas is a spirit of violence at war with God, at odds with God, out of God's will, imposing either our own or really what it is Satan's will over God's. That's what the spirit of Hamas is. And as the Hamas attack and they're killing and raping and beheading people, do you know what they're shouting? Allahu Akbar. Our God is greatest. In the spirit of violence. You see, God from Isaac through Jesus, he did not bring violence, he brought peace. He did not bring the Hamas spirit, but he brought the Holy Spirit. Amen. Allah, false God, from Ishmael through Muhammad, and the Quran revelation that was given to him from a fallen angel brings the spirit of Hamas. Now let me really quickly, I did not put this in my notes. I want to make you understand that I am speaking of Hamas, and I'm not speaking of all Muslims. Please hear me clearly on that. The Hamas do not represent all Muslim people. And so we are not against them. We want to share Jesus with them and help them come to know salvation, who is only through Jesus. But what I'm talking about is these Hamas militants and the spirit that has overtaken them. I read this morning, and I've just been doing my very best to understand what's going on. Now, I told you earlier about Ishmael. He's a wild donkey of a man, right? At odds with everyone. They interrogated one of the Hamas militants that they captured, Fox News, and this is what the Hamas militants that were told. They were told by their commanders to behead and step on the heads of civilians. The Hamas militant, when asked why they were doing this and what else they were doing, the Fox News guy, he said, I can't even tell you what they were doing. He said that they became animals, acting like animals on the attack on October 7th, doing things that humans do not do. The Hamas spirit, a demonic spirit, bringing violence and conflict on God's people. And if you think that doesn't affect us, please know that it does. If you think the spirit of Hamas does not live here in our country, please think again. It's here and it takes on many different forms and many different names. The word Hamas, I shared to you, I probably don't even need to share more. It's found in Scripture. It is often the name for extreme wickedness. In both the Old and New Testament, violent acts, items, and persons and forces, what they are trying to do is upset the divinely established order. What did I tell you? God's order. Abraham, Isaac, Jews, Jesus. Satan's counterfeit. Abraham, Ishmael, Muhammad. The Hamas spirit is the counterfeit of the Holy Spirit. And that spirit wants to eradicate what we believe about the Holy Spirit. There's so much more, and there's so much there, and I would encourage you to check it out. But now let's dive into what this means for us. Really, what it means to not live in the will of God for your life, for your marriage, for your family, and what that can lead to. I told you there were two issues that God pressed upon my heart and has been pressing on my heart for some time now. The one is the conflict going on. The other is the Hamas spirit attacking marriages within our church and within our community. The marital issues that are going on. This violence and pain and hurting and conflict and division and death. And we went all the way back to, where did this conflict start? Guess what it started with? It was a marital issue. Genesis 6, Abraham's wife, Sarah, got impatient. She hadn't borne any children and she desperately wanted to. And she said to him, take my servant. Impregnate her, and I'll become a mother. Verse 4, I want to read verse 5 after I read verse 4. Sorry, it won't be on the screens. He slept with Hagar, and she became pregnant. And when she realized that she was pregnant, she treated her mistress with contempt. Then Sarah said to Abram, you are responsible for my suffering. Do you want to know what the word for suffering there is? Hamas. How interesting. Also interesting that Sarah decided to blame it on Abram, but he chose to go along with it, didn't he? Pastor Mark said a funny joke, and I'll repeat it. He says, you know, often you should listen to your wife, except for when she brings another woman to the house. I thought it was a good joke. But there's this Hamas, and so this suffering. You're responsible for my suffering. And I think this is a prophetic thing, because not only was she suffering then, but it's going to bring suffering between her and Hagar, between Ishmael and Isaac. It's going to bring conflict and division. Now, often Hamas is physical violence, but it can also mean more broadly that it's committed against someone in just as harsh treatment. And that's what she's saying. She says, I gave my slave in your arms, and ever since she has been pregnant, she has treated me with contempt. May the Lord judge between me and you. And then verse 6, Abram replied, Hagar, Here is your slave in your hands. Do whatever you want with her. And then Sarah mistreated her so much that she ran away from home. And what I see here is Abram's like, listen, this was your deal. I did my thing, and now it's on you. You take care of it. And there are too many men who aren't willing to step up and take care of the problems that are taking place in their home. Spirit of Hamas, that is taking place. Impatience with what God is doing and what God is working and what God has promised you to leads to the Hamas spirit in the marriage and family. Unmet expectations will lead to the Hamas spirit in marriage and family. Living out our will over God's will lead to the Hamas spirit within our marriage and family. Losing faith in what God's done and what he's going to do will lead to the Hamas spirit within our marriage and family. Selfishness, having our selfish desires met, whether it be sexual or even just the desire to be pregnant or anything else that falls into those needing my selfish desires and be met, will lead to the Hamas spirit in marriage. And let's look at what God promises. When we are patient, guess where we get that from? The Holy Spirit. When we show gratitude for what we've been given, we get that from the Holy Spirit. When we live out God's will and are able to discern God's will, we get that from the Holy Spirit. When we're unwavering in our faith, we get that from the Holy Spirit. When we are selfless and are able to practice self-control, we get that from the Holy Spirit. And that is what God wants within our marriage. What does the Holy Spirit, what does God want for marriages and family? He wants unity, he wants love, he wants grace, and he wants peace. Holy Spirit brings that. What is the Hamas spirit? What does Satan want for marriages and family? Division. Lies. Revenge. And conflict. And I know there are some dealing with that right now in their marriage. And that is not what the enemy wants for your marriage. The Hamas spirit is one that is at odds with God. It began with issues between a husband and a wife, with impatience to God's promises, with infidelity due to selfish desires, and it tore a family apart. It pitted husband against wife, mother against mother, brother against brother, and ultimately, what it led to is a people group against an entire people group. So this is a very serious global and spiritual issue taking place right now in Israel. But at the same time, in our country, in our community, in our church, we also have a very serious family and spiritual situation taking place. The enemy is bringing Hamas into marriage and family, leading to conflict, trust issues, deception, unwarranted attacks, selfish actions to meet one's own sinful desires. He did it with Adam and Eve. The enemy did it with Noah and his family. He brought it between Abraham and Sarah. He brought it with Lot and his wives and his daughters. He brought it with Jacob and Rachel and Leah. He brought it with Joseph. And he continually does this. He wants to divide our families. He wants there to be border wars within our families. He wants our children to take sides against us. He wants our in-laws to take sides against the other. He wants division, and he'll use any tactic in order to do that. Work, money, pornography, the children. He will use your children to bring division. That's not what God wants. He wants peace and unity. What this leads to, and we know it, is divorce, broken families, drug addiction, mental breakdowns, homelessness, poverty, a skewed outlook on the sanctity of marriage and the commitment of marriage. It leads to confusion in sexual preference. It leads to confusion in sexual orientations. It leads away from God's promise, God's joy, God's peace, and ultimately God's will and what he wants for marriage. That's what the Hamas spirit brings. Your wondering thoughts and eyes, you're overlooking, rationalizing, or not speaking up to sinful actions. Your lack of pursuit of holiness, both individually as a married couple and as a family. Your lack of submitting and living God's will. That will invite the Hamas spirit into your marriage and your family. And it will lead to division, lies, revenge, in conflict. You see, God brought you together to strengthen who you are. He brought you together to make you better together. But all of it is contingent upon the fact that he is your pillar and your foundation. That everything you do, every decision you make, rest on God. In the midst of financial stress, transitional stress, relational issues between your spouse or even with your children, he must be who we are seeking. God's plan, God's purpose, God's promise, that's what we hold on to. We must hold fast to his truth. And so here's what I'll say, I'll bring it to you. Husbands, are you submitting to and living out God's will? Abraham failed. Are you? Wives, we're called to submit to your husbands as he lives out God's will. Sarah failed. Are you? We're called to take responsibility for our actions. I shared it. Abraham, here, you go take care of it. He failed. Are you? We're called to seek forgiveness. Repentance, right? Confession. I'm sorry. They failed in that. Are you? We're called to protect the innocence and the future of our children. That didn't take place for Abraham and Sarah, and it led to generational conflict. And what I want you to understand is that while you think this is some story that you read about in the Old Testament, this is taking place every single day in broken homes and broken families. Where these choices that we're making that we think don't really affect the lives of the ones we love are causing generational conflict. In Genesis 21, verse 8, after Isaac was born, it says, the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham held a great feast on the day Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son mocking, the one Hagar, the Egyptian, had borne to Abraham. And so just I need you to envision, because you go from chapter to chapter, and you're like, oh, there's not that much time that's gone by. Ishmael was 14 years older than Isaac. You have a 16-year-old mocking and making fun of a 2 or 3 year old, right? Now, if you have a 16-year-old and a 2 year old and you see your 16-year-old doing that, what's gonna happen to that kid, right? But you probably don't see that. At least I hope you don't see that. If you do, come see me, we'll talk, we'll do some counseling. Because that, you know, you look at that and you go, that shouldn't take place. If anything, that 16-year-old should be celebrating and embracing and encouraging and being a mentor to this child, but he's not. You have a 16-year-old mocking a two-year-old. In the midst of this, you have a stepmother who's casting out a stepson. I have Isaac now. Send Hagar and Ishmael away. You have a father sending his concubine and his son off. Do what you want with them. These actions, they lead to generational conflict that we see today. And we see it today, but it's been happening all throughout the Bible. I was brought to Psalm 83. And I think they have it. You guys can put that on the screen, and you can just read it for yourselves. But here's basically what it says. The Ishmaelites' desire was to wipe out Israel's name. That is the same goal of Hamas today. And it's found in Psalm 83, and it was taking place then, and it's continued to take place, and it's taking place now. I want to wipe them out. Here's what I want to say to you in your marriage. When hard times come, when you make a mistake, when you stray from God's path, don't give up. Don't move on. Press in. Press into God. Press into His Word. Seek out wise counsel from friends and or other professionals. As a couple, join together, right? In prayer and unity, because that's what God wants. You see this conflict, you see whatever's taking place, the spirit of Hamas that is pushing you away. God says, come closer together and put me right in the middle of it. And when you do that, guess what you'll get? And when you invite the Holy Spirit into the midst of your relationship, into the midst of your troubles, into the midst of your conflict, into the midst of whatever's going on through prayer and worship, guess what you get to experience? Unity and love and peace and grace. That's what God wants. Whatever situation, whatever's going on right now in your marriage, that's what He wants. But you can't just keep ignoring it. You can't just keep, you know, brushing it under the rug. You can't just keep looking the other way. You can't just say, well, these are my actions. They don't really affect anyone else. I'm going to do what I want to do. Wives, no one else is in charge with keeping your husband accountable to his marriage vows. You think his friends are going to do that? His buddies who are doing the same thing that he's doing? You think another woman is going to do that who is flirting with him? It's you, and it's got to be you. Call him out on it. Husbands, no one else is charged with leading the family physically and spiritually as you are. Are you leading in such a way that your wife would willingly follow? No questions asked. My husband's a man of God, and he is pursuing the will of God. And in our home, we don't have the spirit of Hamas, but we have the Holy Spirit. And because of that Holy Spirit that I see in him, I will follow him in whatever he says, because I know he is going the way of God. That's what God wants for your marriage. But we've even put up borders with that, right? We say, well, that, you know, the Bible's a little outdated, and that's not how our world works, and that's false. This is God's designed and created order. And anytime we try to deviate from that, it is Satan's counterfeit. And it brings conflict. And it brings lies, and it brings division, and it brings revenge. Wives, listen to me. If you continue to pick up his slack and do what he is called to do as a husband, as a man, as a father, you will emasculate him. You will emasculate his role. You will steal his purpose. You will find that he is idle and that his eyes are wandering. And maybe it's not another woman, but you'll bet he's chasing after something else, and he's not pursuing you, and he's not pursuing God, because you have decided that you're going to take control. He won't do it, I will. He won't live for God, I will. I'm not going to wait for him. I'm going to be impatient. I know what God's word says. I know what God calls me to do, but he's not doing what he's supposed to do, so I'll just step into it. And let me just ask you, is that drawing him closer to God? Is that drawing him closer to what God desires and calls him to be as a husband, as a father, and a man? Or is that driving a wedge between your relationship? I already know the answer. You want to know why I know the answer? Because I get the joy of counseling people and talking through this. And I say joy, and I hope you know that I'm kidding. And time after time, what I find is that the man is not seeking God, and the wife is not letting her husband lead. It's conflict. It's Hamas. You don't think it is, but it is. It's right there in your marriage. I told you it was heavy. But there's more. Because that's what it means to us right now. It's so important, and I hope you feel the weight and the burden of it, of what God called you to as husband and wife, as a father and as a mother, the importance of showing that love and that grace and that mercy to your kids. So what does this mean for the future? Because within this, if there are some who follow and some who don't, you better believe there are some prophecies in the Bible that might be coming true right now. And we don't know, but you start reading, you'll be like, oh. So what does this mean for the end times and Jesus' second coming? Here's what we know. God promised a land to the Jews, and he brought them to it. And God promised a land to everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. And Jesus will bring us to it. We know that. Now, do the things that are currently happening point to Jesus returning? Absolutely. Do we know when? Nope. But we can see it. And every day it draws closer, which means it's all the more important to live for Jesus. As an individual, as a married couple, as a family, that we live for Jesus. And not only live for Jesus, but tell other people about Jesus. And it's got to start in our homes and in our marriages. Our children should see the love of Christ modeled to their mother. I hope you understand what I'm saying, men. This is sacrifice. This is selflessness. This is putting them before anything that you desire. It's putting God's will for your marriage before them, and your children should see that in your words and in your actions. They should see the submission of Christ to God's will modeled to their father. You hear me, women? I hope you hear me clearly. Christ submitted to the will of God. As your husband lives that out, you're called to model that. Show that unity that you and your husband share to your children. Your children should experience spiritual, emotional, and physical connection of their father and mother, unified by the love and sacrifice of Jesus. That's what they need to see. Show them God, show them Jesus, show them the Holy Spirit in your home. Show them love and peace and joy and unity. We got to show all of those things. Don't show them the Hamas. Don't show division and lies and revenge and conflict. We don't want to show that. I don't have time to dive into all this, but I want to share something with you. In Zechariah 14, 1 through 4, this is one of the prophecies that might be coming to play right now. It says, behold, a day is coming for the Lord when the spoil taken from you will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses plundered, and the woman raped. Half the city shall go out into exile, but the rest of the people shall not be cut off from the city. The Lord will go out and fight against those nations, and when he fights on a day of battle, he will win. If you don't know, Israel right now is fighting against Gaza. Lebanon from the north attacks. The West Bank, they're experiencing conflict. There are many nations who are against what Israel's doing. And if this scripture comes true, Israel, Jerusalem, will be taken. But it's not the end, because you want to know who shows up when that takes place? Jesus shows up. And when Jesus shows up, what a glorious day that will be indeed. You see, if this is an end time prophecy, we won't see resolution or peace, but death. We'll see suffering in Israel for an undetermined amount of time. But before the final blow, before Israel is brought to the point of destruction, Jesus, the one true Lord, will fight and achieve victory and bring salvation and repentance to Israel, all of it, when he shows up. In Joel 2, in Zechariah 12, 10, what it speaks of is a national repentance, the likes of which we have ever witnessed before. And Joel speaks of the Holy Spirit pouring out upon everybody, men, women, daughters, and sons. And then he'll return. You see why it's so important? You know, I think it's interesting, many Christians rally on the side of Israel and the Holy Land. And did you know that only 2% of Israel is Christian? 75% their religion is Judaism. 2%. You want to know what that means? 75% of Israel has not called on the name of Jesus. Gaza is less than 1% Christian, 95% Muslim. Earlier I said, we don't pray for sides. We don't pray for them to this, win this, or them to do this. No, no, no. What we pray for is we pray for Jesus to come. Come into their hearts, come into their minds. Because if you want to see peace take place, you want to know who's going to bring it? The only one who can. His name's Jesus. And he gives us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, you better believe, brings peace and grace and love and forgiveness and an end to the counterfeit, to the deception, and to the lies that Satan has been bringing all along. I'm going to ask that you guys would bow your heads. God, we right now pray for all those who are hurting and broken and lost. We pray for the close to 6,000 people's lives who've been lost. We pray for the close to 15,000 who've been injured, for all those who are fleeing, who are living in fear. But ultimately, we pray for you, for your word to be heard, for your son to be known. There's only one victor over the Hamas spirit, and that is the Holy Spirit. By your son Jesus. So right now, the conflict that's taking place, we speak Jesus over that. And we know that Jesus came and he died for everyone involved in that conflict. And he loves everyone involved in that conflict. At the same time, God, right now, we got to speak Jesus over our families and over our marriages. Struggling with this, I'm going to do it. Listen to me right now, please. Keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed. If you would say today, in your marriage, in your family, you are experiencing conflict, division, lies, deception, that you don't feel unified, that there's hurting, that there's pain, that you're not sure what's going to happen next. I want to pray with you and pray over you, but it's going to require you to get up from your seats and come join me right here. It's going to require you to listen to the Spirit that says, put away the pride, put away all the things that you think, and know right now that God wants to do something in your marriage to come against the counterfeit that Satan has brought in. If you're dealing with relational issues with your spouse, with your children, I'm stepping down, come forward. If you just want prayer over that, you want me to speak God's word and life and encouragement into your marriage, will you come pray with me right now? Don't wait. Don't sit there in fear. Men, grab your wife's hand and bring her up here right now if you're feeling compelled to do it. Lead her. Lead her the way that God called you to lead her. Show her. Show her that you can do it. Show her that the marriage matters over anything else, over the money, over the work. Come. Lift up this family to you. I know what's happening. I know maybe not on the same page. I see a strong woman here who loves deeply and cares and serves deeply and who honors her husband. God, bring your spirit, more of your spirit into this home. Whatever conflict, whatever division, whatever is taking place, reveal it. God, bring conviction, bring challenge, and ultimately bring transformation through your Son, Jesus. It's in his name. God, right now, I just pray. As our children grow older, we lose control. And we're not able to help them make the right choices. Maybe there are regrets from the past, but God, right now, we lift up the children to you. God, that you will send someone to bring them to you. God, that there would be a light illuminated in their life. God, that whatever they're experiencing, whatever pain, whatever choices, they would see that it is not for them and you have something so much better. I pray that you continue to use Kat and Johnny to speak peace and love, forgiveness, and unity. Amen. God, my heart aches with this family. I know they're longing. God, continue to bring them the hope. I've seen them stand on the unwavering hope. I've seen them stand on your promises. I've seen them be faithful. Continue to bring that through your word, through your promises, through your people. Don't let them give up. God, let them know that you are working and you're moving, and while we don't see it and it's not how we expected or how we planned, God, that I pray that whatever you bring, whatever it is, that they would step into it, be discerning of your will, and say yes to your will. No matter how hard it may be, no matter what the sacrifices may be, God, that you would say, this is it, this is the plan, you don't have to make one, don't listen to Satan's counterfeit, here's what I have for you, and it'll be something that is so beautiful and so wonderful that they could have never imagined. God, God, I pray for unity like never before in this family. A continual drawing closer to you and closer to one another through your word and through your spirit and through your worship. I pray for extra doses of joy and peace in the midst of waiting. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. God, it's no coincidence that Jason is here today. That you orchestrated for him to be here today. That he's standing here right now. I know without a doubt that he deeply, deeply loves his wife and his children. And I pray in this moment that that love that he has for them and that same love, that same desire, that same passion, that same zeal, that same protection, God, I pray that he would show that towards you as well. That he would seek you out in the same ways. That he would desire you in the same ways. That he would lead this family the way that you call him to lead. That he will step up to be what you want for him and from him, God. I pray for unity. Physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I pray that this moment brings a moment where prayer is taking place, where Jason is praying over Michelle. I also pray for Michelle, Lord. Oh, I pray for a spirit of submission. Pray that you would bring that through Jason drawing closer to you and leading like you have called him to lead, and Michelle submitting to that, God, that they would see their marriage enter into a new era that they have never experienced before, an intimacy that they have never experienced before, a purpose and a passion that they have never experienced before. So thankful for this beautiful family. Their journey has been hard. There's been so much pain. So much sorrow. So much loss. Of it. You called them to something, to welcome children into their home, to love them unconditionally, to create bonds with them, to care for them, to show them Jesus, and you've done that. You've done that for so many children. You've blessed them with a beautiful son, Ezra, and we're so thankful. What a promise. In the midst of that, there's still decisions. Sometimes it's hard. It's hard to discern your will, God, to know what you're doing. Sometimes we put up walls and we put up barriers and we put up protection because of how we've been hurt, but I pray for a release of that. I pray for those walls to come down. I pray for clarity and communication, bold communication. I pray for these two to join together in your word and in your wisdom and in your counsel and the Holy Spirit's discernment upon what is weighing heavy on their hearts. But in the midst of it, God, I pray that you remind them that you brought them together for such a time as this. Uniquely, you brought them together to get through, to understand, to make the right decision that will ultimately lead to your will. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, would you just pray with me? God, right now, I thank you. Just thank you for speaking. And showing me what you had for today. What you needed to speak, and I thank you for speaking that. Even in the midst of conflict and turmoil and pain, we can seek you and find you, and there's beauty. There's peace and there is healing. God, I pray for our families. I pray for our marriages. I pray for men to seek you, to live out your will. I pray for our children. God, I pray that we would show them Jesus more than anything. Not that they would see us or see mom. They would see Jesus. And it would lead it to them. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Ah, such a precious gift.